Welcome,
Matt Howey.
Welcome,
Jessamine.
Welcome to the Metafilter Podcast.
Okay, it's podcast 51. Woo!
This is amazing.
Hey, I've been meaning to ask you, Josh. Did you go to that crazy meetup at like that sad, shitty amusement park?
No, I ended up not making it out to that. It's been rescheduled. In fact, they just had a quiet little normal meetup because half the people who were planning to go ended up having other obligations. So that'll be sometime like this month or next month. I don't know what's going to happen.
All right, cool.
So yeah, no news.
I
did
go see
the
Blazers
meetup that I didn't go to.
It was good. It was a good time. It was very pleasant.
You didn't go to a Portland meetup when you were in Portland?
I wasn't in Portland. Remember my plane got hit by lightning?
Oh, shit. That's right. First volcanoes, then lightning.
Yeah, so I was totally bummed. No, the lightning was before the volcanoes.
I know. I was conflating the two. Two's a trend. Let me see. I just came back from New York, and I talked about Metafilter to the jail audience.
How did that go? Did you put your slides online anywhere? I heard you were good.
No, I didn't put them online. There's maybe like 10% of the room had ever heard of Metafilter, I think. It didn't seem like a lot of hands went up. I met four or five different members, so that was fun. And a lot of people, unfortunately, Mark made a pitch after it, like, everyone here should go sign up. And I was like, no, I just gave a talk. I like just gave a talk saying why we turn so many people away because we like it to be manageable.
No one ever really grasps that we are not trying to find some way to get a lot more people to sign up. It's I guess just so fucking counterintuitive.
Right. It's just not capitalist.
Yeah, and I've gotten a few emails from people who are like, I'm really excited, just signed up, and some people would tell me in the halls like, I'm gonna sign up as soon as I get back to my house, and I was like, dude, you know there's like a week waiting period where you're not allowed to do anything. Try not to get mad. But the talk went well. The talk went awesome. I basically told seven or eight stories from Metafilter, like, because I couldn't figure out anything else to do. But
Well, that's kind of what Mark said, right? He was like, figure out the thing you think is awesome about this and tell people about it.
And it sort of broke down to like, here's an awesome thread. I'll just tell the story of that thread in like 2 minutes, and I'll tell the story of this thread, and I used them to illustrate points. So there's like all these things. I had no idea it'd be so funny. Like, people were just rolling like five or six times unexpectedly. I think I had one spot where I was like, oh, that's kind of a funny turn of phrase. People will probably laugh at that. So I would be a shitty comedian because I had no idea that like people would just be rolling over like stuff.
Or a great comedian because you've just got whatever it is.
No, I have a shitty delivery because I don't know when to pause. Like, what? Why are you laughing? I have the rest of the thing.
Are you laughing at me?
Yeah. And then there are 2 points of like where people choked up and I sort of choked up. That was weird. I had no idea that would happen. Oh, man.
Well, it's good to do, though, because you can make better contact to the ball.
I was telling the Grandpa Fled the Nazis phone book story. And like, I didn't want to bring up Nazis at a fun, creative event. But,
well,
you know.
And I love how, you know, you've sent it. You've turned it into a 6-word thing that evokes no emotion whatsoever. Nazi phone book, you know.
Like the guy who wants to know where his grandpa fled from Nazis going to Europe, and then someone worked at the Holocaust Museum and got him the phone book and the documents from his grandpa. And then I finalized it with like the photo of the guy standing in front of the building. And it was like, as soon as I said that, I started to lose it. It was weird. So then, but it was right into, does the Roadrunner say meep meep or beep beep, and everyone fucking roared. It was great. Like, it just went from pure sadness to joy. It was great.
That's so great. I'm glad it really went terrific.
Oh, and I mentioned Bon Cliff's Death Star Halloween costume.
Totally awesome.
And like, people just cheered so much for. I played the video of the Death Star costume working with the sound. And because he rigged a greeting card to play the theme inside of it. It was awesome.
I remember.
And other people referenced it in their talks. Like, someday I'd like to get a Death Star costume.
You should draw Bon Cliff a note because he's just this like nerdy Massachusetts suburban dad. And he's a hero on Metafilter. And I think he has no like sense of how awesome he is. Because I know him a little bit, and like I just think he's awesome, but he's always like, whatever. So you should tell him that you mentioned this in front of a room of a whole bunch of thrilled people who were thrilled.
And the best part is, like, when you read the thread, it's like, you know, he needed help building the costume, but then he's like, oh, and then I grabbed a spare doorbell, and I ripped open a greeting card with electronic music, and I rigged those together so you could have push-button music inside the costume. I was like, oh my god, that's awesome.
Right, right. That's so great. I'm glad you get to share that with a wider audience.
Yeah, and you know what my wacky idea was today? Like,
uh-oh.
Exactly.
Brace yourselves.
It's going to be something big and stupid and ill-conceived.
We'll call it travel filter.
No, it's not that bad. No, as you know, people have approached me like every year for the last 10 years going, you should make a movie about Metafilter. I'm always like, that's stupid. People clacking on keyboards.
I thought Josh was making a movie about Metafilter.
I was making a series of brief things. Yeah.
Brief
is two a series?
With Metafilter.
I made more than two. I made like four or five.
My idea was my seven or eight great
Are you
stories.
Still here?
Yes, exactly.
Matt, who?
Dude, the tangent boat. It's gone.
Oh, please continue.
I told seven or eight good stories. I was like, you know, I could have recorded, you know, 5 minutes with Boncliff asking me, you know, me asking him to describe the costume and people's, you know, reactions. That would be like great little videos. Like,
we'll call it Metafilter TV.
Exactly.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, I just need to, that would be like a documentary I would watch, something with just like awesome stories from something, not really.
Well, and
like,
especially with a thread that kind of goes through them all, even though it's a bunch of different people doing awesome stuff, but there's this unifying theme thing, even if it's a dopey, funny colored website. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, so that's in my someday pile.
Love it.
Whoo! Anything else in the Metafilter related news lately? Any good meetups? Anything?
I just had a stimulating conversation with a guy who lurks at MeFi but is mostly a Redditor last night. And I think that may have led to him becoming more actively MeFi curious. So
is that a word? Redditor?
MeFi? Yeah.
I know. MeFi. Wow, I thought blogger was bad.
I promised I wouldn't make fun of you in this podcast. That's my promise to myself.
A Redditor. Ugh.
Yeah.
You know, Adam Savage was a bigger Farker, and I tried to bring him back to the intelligent space of Metafilter, but he's more of a Redditor, I guess, now.
Yeah, what do you do?
Sometimes you lose some. Should we jump into jobs and stuff and things?
Jobs is the only part of the site I didn't look at, so why don't you boys jump into jobs? But I have lots of them from other parts of the site.
There are almost no jobs. Have you seen the economy? It's horrible out there.
Yeah, it's pretty
there's
dry
only
in
like,
there.
There's only like one a week. But
yeah.
Yeah, one a week maybe. There's one awesome one. I know who this is. It doesn't say what the company is, but it's a really cool company. I hate to be coy, but there is a job making like $20 an hour being some office assistant tech writer in the Bay Area that's with an awesome, cool company and fun people.
Sweet.
Everyone should go apply for if you're jobless in that area.
Who's the user who posted it?
S. Perlute. I don't know. Looks French. No, let me see.
You are the worst.
How do we pronounce that?
Just copy and paste it.
S. Perlute. I don't know.
Paste the link.
Oh, I already did. It's in Skype. Where the hell are you?
Oh, I'm in the other Skype.
Yeah, you're supposed to be in Skype.
Esperluette. Oh, I saw this Jobs post.
Yeah, this is the other. This just
that's
went
dodgy,
up what, like yesterday.
Fun.
Yeah, ship me small pieces of wood, which that's pushing it for I think what Jobs is really for. But
yeah,
I don't know. I kind of like the
it's
idea that someone
cool.
would get pieces of wood shipped to them. So
right,
I'm to run
we
with
like
it.
The idea. So.
I thought it'd be woodblock 100, but
your thing got
Brooklyn.
To stay. He doesn't need small pieces of wood. He has wood.
He's rich in wood
from Japan.
He's got like a vault full of wood, like Scrooge McDuck. He goes swimming it and has an assistant pull out all the splinters.
Ouch. Projects ever.
Oh man,
P equals NP, proof conjecture.
I was so debating whether or not we should even mention that.
Well, I thought that was a fight that we weren't allowed to.
Here's the thing. I don't understand what P equals NP means, and I'm sort of fascinated by the fact that there's this huge fight that I can't even begin to understand.
You know, and
isn't that the classic computer science unanswerable question?
Yeah, that's one of the great unanswered questions
it's like
of complexity theory.
Perpetual motion machine, functionally, right?
As soon as I saw the project go up, some guy's like, "I solved it." I was like, "Oh, this will be awesome."
Yeah, it's not like perpetual
fight.
Motion. I mean, in principle, P equals NP. Well, I mean, the question itself isn't perpetual motion, but it is. Yeah, the approaches are like sort of classically. It's one of those things that people come up with. Flawed solutions to same thing with like Fermat's last theorem
it's the math nerd equivalent of yelling fire in a crowded theater. If you just walk into a room at MIT and just go, "I solved P equals NP," like everyone just mob you and beat the shit out of you and say you're bullshit.
Is that true?
Also,
kind of, yeah. it's a big topic.
The best story
I've just never
ever.
Seen anything get 66 comments and projects in my life.
I know.
With zero votes.
Yeah,
I know. Not a single person liked it.
Outlier. And it's interesting.
I'm sorry if it's picking a scab, but I just felt like I needed to mention it because it's so weird.
The best P equals NP story ever is from Joey, the accordion guy in Toronto. What's his Davila? Have you ever heard his story of the fraud girlfriend? He meets some girl.
What does that have to do with P equals NP?
Get this. He meets a girl. She's the girl of his dreams. She's like, "Oh, I know PHP. I work at this awesome startup. You're hot. Yeah, we should date." And it's going good for a month or two. And then someone tips him off like, "Dude, she's a serial liar and bullshitter." And he's like, "No, there's no way." And he confronted her. And she was like, I mean, he had like five or six pieces of evidence, like, "You weren't at that thing. I called the company. You hadn't worked there." And everything, she had an excuse. Like, "I'm a freelancer. They're not allowed to say because I'm on a top secret project." She had to out for all of them. And then he said, "I thought of a Columbo trick from the TV show where you say something that's bullshit to get the person to reveal their bullshit cards." And he goes, "Oh, well, you said you went to McGill, right? And you studied with famous blah?" And she goes, "Yes." And he's like, "Do you remember the lecture about when we solved P equals NP?" And she goes, "Yeah, I remember that lecture." And he goes, "Aha!" Like, that was it. And it was, and then he, dumps her, and yeah.
Well, that is a pretty good use of P equals NP in a layman context, so.
Plus 70s crime drama.
Yes. It was very dramatic.
I do remember, and I just never forgot that there's no such thing as P equals NP after that.
Right. I remember that there's no such thing, but also that many people like to think there is, like the car that runs on water.
Yeah, or the guy that doesn't eat.
Jesus.
The guy that doesn't eat, that's a favorite one.
Yeah,
the breatharians.
Just
art stuff. There's this nice everyday I draw on a 3x5 index card one. I think that got a front page post. I don't remember.
Yep. I don't think I saw that one.
It did.
Yeah, it did. It does what it says on the tin.
This thing is screaming book
deal. A bunch of nice little daily sketches.
Wait. They won a library card catalog?
I guess, yeah.
And they're desecrating it.
Where was I on April 22nd? I missed this entirely.
You were failing.
Volcano.
You were reading the P equals NP post.
I liked
Jess versus the volcano.
Gentleman's Gentleman, sort of the put this on blog as visual comic, sort of by Cobra.
Oh, this was great.
Yeah, like man's tips in comic book format. Very handy and cool.
Yeah, and really well drawn and sort of, yeah.
I should send this to Jesse. This is pretty much good advice.
Yeah, Jesse would totally love this. I also like the Business Raptor comics at the other end of the spectrum.
Yes.
You know, as a kind of a Mac Paint sort of thing. I mean, some of them are actually funny, but it's 8-bit raptors. Most of them end by the raptor eating someone.
Let me see. Tea Party Jesus was the most popular project. It's not as bad as it sounds. I mean, when I read the title, I was like, "Oh God, what is this?" Like, what?
Gearbucket is very talented.
It's awesome. It's just old pictures of Jesus. Pictures of Jesus and word bubbles with quotes from prominent news articles that are just unbelievable.
I actually support microchipping illegal immigrants.
I know, Jesus.
As an example.
There is a war here at home against illegal immigrants, and it is even more deadly than the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, he's saying from the mountaintop. Like, it's so insane.
Oh, now I remember where I was on April 22nd. I was in Arizona.
Ah! Your papers, please.
Yes.
I guess that's projects, eh?
No, wait. I liked a couple more. Projects thrilled me this month.
It was a pretty good
month. There
was
also the very stupid, small iPhone app that translates phone numbers with letters in them, so you can just type in the letters and it'll make the phone call.
Oh, it's like phonespell.org.
But it's not like, how do I find a cutie poo phone number? It's like, somebody told me the number is 1-800-FUCK-YOU, but I don't know what the letters stand for, so fuck you, I'm just going to type them in.
And it's free.
Yeah.
I always hate that. The stupid ads.
Ignick-knocked.
I always hate stupid ads that are like, call us at 1-800-COMPAC. HR or something. It just takes like an extra 30 seconds to hunt and peck for the stupid numbers.
I just call Google Voice all the time and I don't even remember phone numbers anymore.
You call Google? Oh, you use Google Voice? You can just type in letters and it does it for you?
You just like, they're on my speed dial and then you're like, I want pizza in town. And they'll be like, pizza in town is boop, 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 boop. I'll connect you. And then they make the phone call for you.
Aren't you putting humans out of business by that?
Only humans with shitty, shitty jobs.
You prefer robots.
I prefer robots for many things. And one more that I just really, really liked was Gail's Generation Extinct, the Lost Taste Toys Trends of the 70s and 80s.
This missed that.
I am older than you gentlemen.
No. I like Gail. Gail's world of nostalgia is always awesome.
Yeah, Gail just has her finger on the pulse of my nostalgia, which is probably meaning that she's exactly my age. But like Friday, April 30th, what about prom, Blaine? What about prom? And so it's like a link to, like, you know, 1980s prom dresses and that kind of stuff. Molly Ringwald wears a dress that looked not entirely. Hey, and here's a can of chocolate fudge soda, which in fact I was drinking quite recently, but apparently.
There's a whole post about Cookie Crisp's mascot, which is a running joke in the show community, which only made sense to people that were alive from like 1981 to like 1986 as they were
Is Community good? I've never actually.
The first like two suck. Maybe the first five are painful. There's some dumb parts. And then it's gotten great.
Okay, because I love everybody that's in it, but I haven't, like, sort of delved into it yet, and I wasn't sure if it was totally worth it.
I love everyone except Joel McHale, like, the main slick dude who I can't stand, and he's kind of an asshole in it.
You don't like his acting, or you just don't like the character?
I don't like his character in him. I've seen him on, like, comedy podcasts, and he's a douchebag in real life. Yeah, he's just, like, a cocky asshole. He's not playing very far out of his normal character. And I'm kind of sick of him, but, like, the show is great. The last episode was, like, amazing. Totally worth it. Better than good. 30 Rock, I would say. It's, like, clips 30 Rock to me.
I sort of don't like 30 Rock that much.
Yeah, I think they're getting kind of lazy.
Liz Lemon, too annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, she reminds me of the Julie Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld. Like,
yeah.
If I want to go look at annoying, neurotic women, I'll, you know.
Look in the mirror. Bing! Sorry.
You kind of set that one up, though.
Yeah.
I set these up for you, Matt, so
it was
that
like
you can
a
feel funny.
Ball. Ouch.
You're the one who's complaining. I think you're very funny. Looking.
I actually spent all week in New York apologizing for our podcast because everyone kept going, oh, I listen to that all the time. And I would go, what? Don't you have actual enjoyable things to do?
Oh, shut up. I listen to this podcast too half the time.
Lots of our friends like to listen to it because it's like we're in their living room talking to them.
You know, they could just come over. They never write. They never
call. Yeah. All right. Let's go to Metafilter.
Mm-hmm.
was a clear, there were several very clear, awesome posts on Metafilter. So I don't know what you guys thought was awesome. Oh, and I'm supposed to mention that, what's his name? McCarty Tim is not allowed to post about Lady Gaga anymore. I was supposed to mention that in the podcast.
Finally.
It's just against the rules. McCarty Tim, you are done. No more Lady Gaga posts.
How many
for
did
you
do?
User, you have been warned.
Yeah, there's been a lot.
Right, two, maybe three even. And an Adam Ant post that says Lady Gaga in the URL.
That's a bit too much.
I know. She's not that great.
I'm just calling shotgun on this post because there's a good chance that you two might have seen it as well. And I want to not be beat to it. So the Bohemian Rhapsody post from Zark. Which
oh,
is just
I didn't actually see this one.
Amazing.
This was not on my list.
It's a.
Oh my God. I thought he had a job.
Yeah, I don't know. Go figure.
I've been meaning to, like, someday watch all these videos, but never got around to it.
Yeah, no, it's a really excellent collection of covers, and the lead on it is a BBC documentary about Bohemian Rhapsody that I haven't even gotten around to watching that yet. That's in my sort of bookmarked for a rainy day pile.
So it's like an hour about with a song. Just...
Yeah, presumably, like making up and whatnot.
Interesting. That looks voluminous.
Well said.
Voluminous, you mean? Voluminous.
That's it. Sorry.
That's all right. Hey.
I just have little pet likes. First one was, I guess it used to be called Piano Hero. They had to rename it. They had to rename it or they get sued. Was it Synthesia or something?
Synesthesia.
Like is your reading mind broken this week? Like, these are just words. Synthesia.
How many times have we done a podcast and how difficult?
I'm not allowed to make fun of Josh.
We find pronouncing things difficult every time. So it's basically Piano Hero. It's so using gaming theory to teach people how to make real music, not fake fucking guitars, you know, kicking over furniture in the living room, acting like a badass, but like actually grabbing a real piano. But there's some awesome videos. If you look at the videos for it, you can get like, you know, your favorite Journey song the guy has done a video about, and he shows basically the video screen above his actual keyboard. And you just do, you know, go to blue, go to purple, go to blue, you know, do what I'm doing on the screen. It slows it down. And there's a way you can just step through each note at a time until you get good at it. You can do it faster and faster and do it at full song.
Oh, so
speed.
At the end of it, you wind up actually sort of knowing how to play an instrument? Is that right?
That's
yeah.
The idea.
Wow.
Yeah, you're actually learning, you're doing it on an actual keyboard. So yeah, it gets rid of sort of the abstraction layer that you see in the actual guitar thing.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's using the game, well-established game mechanic, but with real instruments. You have to get kind of an expensive USB compatible keyboard. I think you have to spend $200 to $400 to get like a keyboard that'll work with, you know, most OS software.
Uh-huh.
And but then you're actually really learning how to play the piano and playing a song and from a game, which is like cool and awesome. It's free, I think, right?
I think so.
Source.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
And I mean that sort of idea has
so
been
great.
Done before. I mean it's not totally new, but the specific interface is not necessarily the common one, and it gets away from the notation thing, which is kind of nice for people who don't already know notation, because notation can be a real sort of terrifying thing to try and work with as a musical newbie. And
oh yeah, like that's what when I showed it to someone, that's the first thing they said, is like, it doesn't teach you how to read notes, you just learn purple goes here, blue goes there. Like, but
and
no,
you're like, that's the awesome part. Thank
well,
you.
There's actually an advanced mode where it actually changes into notes and then you realize what E flat is and all, and like it teaches you musical scales, which is, if you stare at musical scales, it's kind of like Guitar Hero, you know, when you know what it says. So
that's cool.
Game comes around.
I would like to complain about Raomi's post. I think Raomi is always awesome, to the best of my memory, and makes awesome posts. But they posted a link to my favorite Calvin and Hobbes full text searchable site, which is now dead.
You know, and I saw that thing go up, and it's like
we usually are told to take them down immediately.
Yeah, I think the ones I can remember, like in the last couple of years, have both been like things where we just sort of killed it immediately because it's like, hey, you just literally linked to a
tarball. Site's been up for years. The SNS or the whatever it is, SNOND.net has been up forever.
Wow.
But, you know, Raomi made a post, which was great, and I don't mean to, you know, diss on it, but Now it actually killed the site.
It's one of those, yeah, can you post about a thing without destroying the thing sort of problems.
And I don't really know what happened, but there were a couple people who mentioned in the thread, like,
Don't do that.
You know, people didn't flag it. In fact, 200 people favorited it.
I thought we would have gotten like a Meta Talk post immediately, because we usually do, going, Calvin Hobbes is copyright. Bill Watterson wouldn't want it. We should.
Well, this is actually like a search engine that just points directly to the content that's on that site.
So it's just a metadata search.
Yeah, it's kind of a gray area thing, and that's why it's sort of like, it's not quite the same thing as here's a tarball of every strip ever, go download it. You know, it's not people passing around like a torrent.
But I think it does hot link to the images.
The images
host
on New Comics or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, so it points to the images, but it doesn't, like, I don't think link to the framed images or something. I don't even remember. All I know is there was a couple Calvin and Hobbes strips. The one, like, you walk like this, aggle, aggle, aggle. And I'd go to this site and type in aggle, aggle, and I would find the comic I was looking for.
Hey, Jessamine, what do you think of the Granite State of Mind New Hampshire post?
That video is awesome. I spent like an entire weekend looking at all the other state of whatever posts, and that's the best one. It's better than the one that Jay-Z does. It's just so good. They're very funny. I watched everything else those guys did.
Sweet.
You know, in the winter you have got to, it is good to know a plow guy. Like, it's awesome. It's exactly what...
There's some syrup references in it, too, even though it's New Hampshire.
You know, the big secret is that New Hampshire and Vermont are the same state with different taxation policies. You know what I mean? And so most of the stuff that he talks about is stuff that applies to both. And then there's like New Hampshire beach stuff, which anybody who grew up in Central Mass or, you know, Eastern Mass, you always went to the beach in New Hampshire. So like those stories were, legend. Was that this month, actually? Oh, yeah. In February, it's good to know a plow guy. Oh, that was not on displays. Yeah, you know who showed him that video? I did.
Oh, friend linker. Banned.
It's not. They're not my friends.
Sure.
They make this other video called Cry Like a Bitch, which is actually really funny. It's. I mean, I would never have thought those words would have crossed my lips.
Yeah.
But it's actually like a totally funny video because they're these innocuous New Hampshire guys.
Sweet.
But I looked at the other ones, like the Tokyo one and the Minnesota one and a whole bunch of other ones. This is the best.
It's hard to do,
I have a post from like back beginning of March, which I think I just forgot to mention in the last podcast because I didn't see it in the write-up.
Did you make it yourself?
No. See, that's why I didn't notice it.
Oh, is it a complicated game that requires minutes of explanation?
It's a very complicated game in the way it's set up, but it's actually a really simple thing. It's basically a point and click adventure game type thing, except for it's sort of a one-on-one role playing approach to it.
One
person is playing, like they're playing a little point and click game and, you know, trying to do things, and the other person is running the game. You know, they're actually basically DMing an adventure game graphically and speaking for the characters and putting things in the scene and doing things in the scene. So like if the player's like, I want to light that chair on fire, the person running it can just sort of use the tool set to quickly throw some flames on the chair and have, you know, the character say, holy shit, my favorite chair. You know, I mean, hopefully they do something more entertaining with that. But
everyone has been talking about this everywhere I go.
Yeah, it's a fantastic. I haven't had a chance to actually try and, you know, do it, but I really, really like the idea of it. It's a wonderful sort of approach to melding the whole sort of computer game paradigm with old-fashioned, you know, role-playing storytelling. So
sort of like
and something vaguely social. Like, do you play with somebody you pick, or do you play with some?
It's like chat roulette Zork kind of, right?
I mean, I think you could set it up as
with cock.
If you want a cock-based game, I think cock can totally happen.
But, I thought strangers are the other side, right? Or are they friends?
I think you both have to own a copy of it, so I think it's actually more likely that it is you and a friend, although they may, you know, find ways to have you play with a random DM or something too. But again, the mechanic side of it I haven't seen in action, so I can't really comment on, but the idea of the setup is good. And the post has a link to sort of a 180-page slideshow that just sort of walks through frame by frame the idea. And it's actually, that sounds big, but it's like, you know, 5 minutes of reading, and it's actually pretty impressive to see what's going on there. So, I liked that. That was neat.
In my crazy old history, that's kind of depressing, but I didn't know about file. Something comes up like once a month on Metafilter, blows my mind. But this one is about a documentary about like bigots in college women's basketball and women's basketball in general, even the pro leagues, trying to eradicate lesbians from their sport. Which, you know, there's sort of the old stereotype that, you know, most of everyone in the WNBA is gay and, you know, but there's
WNBA
like some...
is very popular among, you know,
yeah,
gay women.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like about a couple ruthless like coaches that, I mean, the stories are so crazy where it's not even, they have like codes of ethics where you're not allowed to be a lesbian on this coach's team and all your other teammates will report you and get some sort of reward if they out you. And then you're kicked out of the team, kicked out of school, and then you're blackballed from ever playing basketball ever again with any other college. And they do their best to make sure you don't get admitted to any other college. It's so insane.
Horrible.
Yeah, and Carol Ann like had apparently known a ton about it and dropped a few good comments, explaining the whole thing and the history behind it. It's like, oh, God. Like, it's so sad in 2010 this exists. It's just so crazy. Fucked up. And that was that.
On a lighter note, I thought this was a really funny comment, but it's only a funny comment if you have read the book House of Leaves, which is itself sort of a contentious issue since a lot of people are annoyed by the book in part because of other people who really like the book, and so some people get annoyed that the other people are overhyping this book.
House of Leaves is what again?
It's a book that came out, I don't know, like 8 or 10 years ago, I want to say, something like that, by a guy named Mark Danielewski, who is Poe's brother, Poe the musician. And it's this big, thick book that has this like multiple level narrative going on. So it's in theory a book being written
all
by
right, I hate it already.
A guy named Johnny. He's writing about the papers of guy named Zampano, who wrote a book about.
No, I hate it.
It's anyway. I'm one of the people who actually likes it, but I understand why people all criticize right. it. But anyway, it's full of footnotes and like nested footnotes.
Oh,
and this comment
I hate it even more.
Is wonderfully capturing that whole thing in the context of arguing with someone who claimed that no one else had made a House of Leave reference in that thread before. So it's just kind of an epic joke.
What's not to hate?
You know, I don't know what your problem is. Why are you gonna be down on non-linearity in you know fictive works? What the fuck?
Because I'm really linear. I can't follow it, and I get confused and fall asleep.
You're like William Burroughs sucks, aren't you? You're like.
No, he's just a horrible misogynist. I don't mind his non-linearity.
Footnotes of footnotes. Come on. That's exhausting.
David Foster Wallace is the only person I will ever forgive for footnoting the way he does. Even yeah. Oliver Sacks, you know? I just can't quite do it.
Man, I had no idea you were anti-footnoteites. That's... I'm re-examining a lot of assumptions.
How do you feel about endnotes? Can we talk about endnotes?
Endnotes, you know, endnotes are okay, but to have to go
too
back there. I mean, that's the thing.
Turning.
Wallace was all about the endnotes, and you had to have two fucking bookmarks to read the book, and that's you know.
See, like whatever
annoying.
ADD is, I have the opposite of it, and so footnotes like take away from my ability to pay attention.
Yeah.
They're fine for other people.
I have to go now. I just
so do I.
Anyway, I thought that was a funny comment. Thank you. That was
should do best comments ever. Let me go to
one more.
Well, the
the best comment is that Ned Zepper's comment?
Naval Gazer's comment about
Naval Gazer.
Stephen Baldwin doesn't
Naval Gazer and Ned Zepper.
How could you? They're so similar. I don't know. We point out probably 3 to 5 times a week a great comment somewhere on the site, on the side blog, and we hardly ever remember to mention them here, but there is I will leave a link on this podcast notes that there's a link to someone who, there was sort of a mocking Stephen Baldwin thread for turning.
Because he's out of work and evangelical, was that it? I didn't even read most of the thread.
Let's raise money so we can go do God's work or something. And so there's the usual sort of ha-ha, LOL, non-evolution bashing stuff. But then someone's like, you know what? Stephen Baldwin's pretty fucking awesome. And they said they were lost in the middle of nowhere and parked on a dangerous street. And he pulled up.
And late.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And he pulled up, was like, what the fuck are you parking here for? You're going to get killed. And he's like, I'm lost. And he goes, okay, follow me. And the gist was Stephen Baldwin took like a half hour, an hour out of his day to drive this guy
this
back
poor
into
schmo
town.
Off the side of this crazy hill and get him where he was going.
Yeah, and he led him with a moving truck exactly where he needed to go, then turned around and had to drive, you know, a half hour back to where he was to go do his thing. It's just like, Stephen Baldwin ain't that bad.
Well, and he was also like, he walks the talk, you know, yeah. Like that he was like, maybe he's this goofy Christian to a lot of people, but
yeah. Yeah.
And then somebody bitched me out for including that on the sidebar.
That was great.
Because people think I put a bunch of stuff on the sidebar that's from the LOL Christian threads.
Oh,
remember, there was the mitten comment.
Yeah, but that flipped it on its ear. Like that.
I know.
That was the exact reason we have a side blog, so people don't fall into like lazy, you know.
That's my feeling.
Exactly. Stay true. Stick to your guns, Jessamine.
Thank you.
Did I mention The Room last time? The Tommy Wiseau film?
I don't think so.
It's ringing
no bells. Remember, we had kind of a short podcast because we talked in front a lot, too.
That's probably what happened to all this stuff. Well, it's this movie from 2003, I want to say. And the post I'm linking here is from 2006, but I only found it after I went back looking, and I was so disappointed that it turned out to be, you know, 4 years old because I couldn't join the conversation about it.
I think this is your new role, Josh, is to be the, you know, the from the archives guy.
The content diver.
Here's this post from before we had a podcast and before I was a member.
It could work. There's a treasure trove, I'm telling you. Anyway, the movie is terrible, but it's kind of a cult film terrible at this point. And
softcore porn blended with a Tennessee Williams stage play.
There's not a whole lot of softcore in there, but there's a little bit because the guy, yeah, it's totally, the film is this horribly made mess that's basically, obviously, to some extent, autobiographical in intent, because like the star of it, played by the writer and director, Tommy Wiseau, is totally this Mary Sue who is wronged by the universe and he's just a good man done wrong by everyone around him and blah, 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 blah. And it's really, really terrible. And he's got a weird accent, and I'm not even sure where it's from, but he's like, oh, hi, Denny. And it's hard to convey, but people should definitely see it because it's really bad, but in a good way.
Sounds like the post about it is terrific.
Yeah, it's kind of a great big epic post from a few years ago. And it's
by Boost Ventilator.
Yes. And yeah, so that I wanted to pull that one out because I enjoyed the post and I enjoyed the film, and people should definitely see it.
I wanted to give a quick nod to World's Ugliest Statues thread, not because the post is fine, right? But like the thread turns into this terrific my favorite ugliest statue thread. And Chocolate Pickle had dropped us a note to be sure to notice this, and I did notice it, and it's really funny. So I just wanted to.
Dude, did they get the Stanford thing on there? I hope they did.
Which Stanford thing?
The Buddy Christ version of Father Junipero Serra that someone built like a 20-foot horrible statue and gave it to the University of Stanford, and they didn't want it. So it turned into a rest stop area like statue, which is like just west of Stanford. And it's so ugly and stupid and not even well formed.
Well, I'm not finding it, but the thread's still open. So maybe you should just add it as a comment there.
Yeah, I took a picture. I used to call it. It looks like Buddy Christ. Like he's shooting like the guns with his fingers. And this is like supposed to be like the main, whatever, missionary that helped conquer California.
Nice.
Yes, there's a lot of good lulls in this thread, and everybody just seemed to be into it. You know, it's one of those great things where everybody can laugh at something and nobody winds up feeling bad about it, I think, if that's possible.
Bronze casters.
You know, they may be an underrepresented minority on unrepresented.
I think that Jersey teardrop is actually kind of cool. I don't know. Doesn't look bad. Looks kind of cool.
Well, people have different opinions, but nobody, you know...
I'm not saying you're wrong. All right.
I just enjoyed the thread is all I'm saying.
I also wanted to point out this one other one, an everything is terrible post of a grade school kid doing a handmade video of him lip syncing to With or Without You with typed in messages over the top. And it's one of those things that turned into sort of a discussion of cringeworthy childhood memory type things. And I really thought it was kind of sweet and awkward in its various things that it brought out in the thread. So,
wow, everything is terrible. I haven't seen this in eons. Wow.
We have a post like every 2 weeks.
Oh, I did see them asking for copies of Jurassic Park on VHS. And that was them.
Huh. Wait, what?
There's a guy building a wall of Jurassic Park VHS tapes. I have no idea why, but...
What does this have to do with fifth grade?
It was Everything is terrible.
Oh, I thought you were complaining. I forgot there was a blog called Everything is Terrible.
Oh, I was actually muttering the phrase Everything is Terrible.
Yeah, I was like, God, Matt.
Yeah.
Like, fuck
nothing
your
like
post.
An afternoon at the Montessori school.
Wow. God, thank God I didn't have a video camera when I was in fifth grade.
No joke, right? I'm really kind of happy I could put basically everything prior to college just away.
That was the undercurrent of Star Wars Kid. Like, besides that, 90% of the people viewing it were just laughing at the fat kid being funny or something. But for most people, it's like, thank God I never taped anything I did that like that. And it never fell into the wrong hands. Like, good God.
Yep.
Awesome stuff.
I also want to mention real quick the post about The Human Centipede, which is a terrible, terrible film. It's a horrible premise for a horrible horror film that I think is coming out soon, actually. But anyway, I just want to throw it out there. If anybody really wants to feel terrible about something, they should
the
really check
it
out.
Oh!
Apparently you guys hadn't seen this one.
I've seen it.
Some sort of joke movie or
no,
something?
No, it's an actual movie. It's an actual
schlocky
horror film.
It's the worst, most horrible idea for a film ever. Read the text. It's the worst.
The elevator pitches that
he's sewing dead people together.
No, they're
alive. God, it's worse than you can even imagine.
Mad
Matt,
scientists
you poor,
out
naive
in the
fool.
Boondocks conspires to perform reverse Siamese twin separation surgery on some people lost. Whose car broke down or whatever, and so he sews them together
three
to make a three-person long... Well, it's two women who got lost, and then I think some guy who he had already captured.
Is there a dude in it too?
I think so. I think there's like...
I think it's... Well, I'll check while you explain this to our boss.
Anyway, so he's crazy, and he wants to make a human centipede, and so he basically kidnaps some people, and then apparently surgeries them together in a chain and creates one long, uninterrupted... digestive system and
mouth to butt, Matt. He connects
heads,
the
I
mouth
know.
To butt.
Yes, ask
it's
him
the
out.
Most disgusting
the film.
Thing ever.
So
why
yeah.
didn't they just call it Analingus the movie, and then everyone would run
because
run,
Analingus run. People actually enjoy. Nobody enjoys this. It's horrible.
That's really stupid. Jesus, I see the money scene at the very end of the trailer. It's so dumb. It looks so fake and cheeseball.
Yep. Is it three women or is it two women and a dude?
I think it was like two women and like a Japanese dude or something like that. From what I can remember from the trailer.
That's what it looked like, yeah.
I admit I have not tried to find a bootleg of it yet. So you know.
See, you know, this is really fucked up, but I feel slightly differently about it that I know it's not just like lady torture porn. Like
yeah.
if there's a dude in it, it actually makes it a different level of gross and disgusting.
Yeah.
And that thread is still going. The thread started on April 6th, and there's still people commenting in it
yeah,
today.
It just picked up a little bit more action because someone actually got a review of the actual film. So,
and?
It sounds like it's a shitty movie. Shocking.
Tell me surprised.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Oh, one more plug for people who are exactly my age. Again, the 120 Minutes Archive.
Oh, yeah.
On archive of nearly every 120 Minutes show and playlist.
Yep.
585 episodes.
When alternative music was actually alternative to something and hard to find and get to.
Yeah, and you would see things on MTV and be like, wow, I need to go buy that record because I'd never heard of it before. Yeah, I know. But I love this post by Charles V42, and I feel like in some ways we're mentioning the same old people. So, Charles V42, you may live in Brooklyn and be 26 years old, but this is your first mention on the podcast.
Every time you praise a 26-year-old male in Brooklyn, his mustache grows an extra curl of his ironic 1890s mustache.
1890s were a good decade for mustaches.
Hell yeah. Are we going to move to Ask Metafilter at some point?
I have one more tiny little plug here. This game where this guy basically sat down and he made Super Mario Brothers, like the original Super Mario Brothers, but he coded it in Flash with the choice of several different characters from various classic Nintendo games, which is something that you totally talked about, like, on the blacktop in 1988. You're like, fuck yeah, it'd be totally sweet if you could play as Samus and you're shooting the Goombas. And then this guy, as a labor of love, actually made that happen, and it's really sweet, and you should go check it out if you have any NES nostalgia, because it will blow your fucking mind. That's all.
All right. So you play the game as... Oh, I thought it was like you play the game as a mushroom, and you're standing there, and then you get crushed.
No. You're playing as... You can play as Simon Belmont from Castlevania, or you can play as Samus from Metroid, or you can play as Bill from Contra...
It's like Mario Brothers, only I can play Sonic the Hedgehog as a character?
Yeah, but not Sonic, because Sonic's Sega, that's bullshit.
But you have the capabilities of that other person?
Yeah, and it's really faithful to the mechanics of the original games, too. So moving through Super Mario's world as a different character feels really, really bizarre. I've got a lot of muscle memory that this game sort of fucks with in bad ways. It's really kind of
exciting.
That's
good for your brain.
Yeah,
like Sudoku for older people.
Yeah.
Nice.
I was a little dismayed, speaking of our 26-year-old friends, that the I'm turning 30 and handling it poorly, give me some advice thread. It didn't receive a ton of comments, but 90 users marked it as a favorite.
I saw that.
I don't know what that means, but I just felt like I needed to mention it because, gosh, what does that mean about, you know?
Dude, look at the most popular for the last month. There's two others. One's like, I get really depressed by Sunday night because I didn't do anything all weekend. And that has like 2 bazillion favorites. And there's another one going like, I'm 35. My girlfriend left me. I'm not even like a real adult. What do I do? And there's 1 bazillion favorites. And it's like, oh, no.
I did not even see those.
The favorites far eclipse the number of comments. Like, it's just, oh, bummer.
I vaguely recall the, like, Sunday night one. What did people say about that? Like, don't worry about it? It's okay to not do shit on the weekends?
I think it was, like, come up with a system to get shit done Friday night so you can relax or something.
So you can actually have some free time to do some stuff.
Yeah. Wow. Turning 30. I saw this one. This is fascinating. This like points to a real need. Who are your favorite Etsy artists who sell largest prints at reasonable prices? 77 people marked as a favorite. There's only 10 comments. Like, you know, Etsy obviously is not meeting some needs for people. They need to like step up their game on discovery of art.
I wonder about that with Etsy. Like, I went to Etsy looking for an iPad case because I just wanted like a sleeve.
Yeah.
And like, it was, and I love Etsy, but like, it was really difficult to kind of drill down through their system to be able to be like, I want to look at like individual stores who are selling iPad cases. I don't want to see 17 of them. I just want to see like one from each store. And I want it to be an iPad case, not an iPod case, even if they use the word iPod. And I was surprised. Like, they could really benefit from a even more killer search. Although, to be fair, they're probably doing totally fine without my helpful advice.
it's like the Walmart of craft stuff, but like, it's about as useful, or it's about as convenient as a Walmart, which is you have to wander and wander and wander before you stumble on it.
Or you've got to want something that's got a really specific keyword that you can attach to it. Like when I was looking for moss terrariums, it's actually pretty easy to look that stuff up, you know, through tags. But if you don't have a specific keyword, it's really challenging. So, yeah. Like, I just want to look at cool prints. Good luck. I know.
Art, print, like there's tag search, there's color. Yeah, they have a zillion different searches, but none of them are awesome. Like, you almost need human curated. I guess they let people mark stuff as favorites, and they could probably show you search results with the most favorited stuff so that maybe it's, like, really awesome stuff. This Tweety one should work, right?
But, like, yeah, this, like, you know, this iPad search, you're like, looking at the stuff, and it's, like, a car holster, a Darth Vader sticker to put on your laptop.
There's, what, like, 30 on each screen, and, like, two of them are actually spot on.
Yeah, I wound up buying, you know, thing that I was actually really happy with, but
the felt one's cool, but $48, what the fuck?
They're nice. They're nice looking things.
Ugh.
What is that? Masculine? Oh, the masculine iPad case.
But it's like Tweety. Funny looking.
Oh, Tweety. I thought you were talking about Twitter and I just ignored you.
Kids today with their Facebooking my face Twitter.
They're my face Twitster.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I got to find something to wear for this fucking party.
You don't have to. I have Saturday some night. I have some Tweety goods I could wear, but I think Josh has already.
I actually went shopping.
I saw
which
that.
Is not normal for me, but it sounded like a fun idea, and so I've got a little bit of an outfit. It's very vintage store mix and match,
outfit.
So it's going to be, I don't know how well the whole thing's going to hold together. But
having a country estate theme party is so dangerously close to a steampunk convention, you know? It's like we're just wearing different socks, kind of, you know?
A bunch of white people dressing up like white people.
Whiter people.
I know. It pains me. It pains me.
You don't have to. Last year was supposed to be prom, but he didn't He didn't really tell anybody, so it's like five people were all prommed out and everyone else wasn't.
And you know Jesse, so you probably know how it's all going to be. These people are all strangers to me, so
yeah,
I'm,
well, he'll
nervous.
Do it over the top and everyone else will be a pale comparison and half of them won't be dressed up, so that's what I expect.
So we'll be fine, is what you're saying.
Yeah, we'll be fine.
This was actually my favorite thread of the entire month. Mark Skivist, whose name I can never pronounce, basically was like, I was too cool for school during the 80s, and now I want to listen to the poppy 80s because I was busy listening to the Stooges. And,
you know who this reminds me of?
He's like, suddenly I like listening to the Bow Wow Wows and Walking on Sunshine. Give me other things to listen to. And it's just a thread full of summertime. It's delightful.
Do you know who's a carbon copy of Markivist on this?
Mm.
Paul Bausch, PB.
Yeah. See,
really?
Big nut for...
We ditched work one
cool
day.
He was too cool for school?
We ditched one... he's like a guitar player, man. Like,
you ditched Metafilter work?
We ditched Metafilter work one day and saw a hot tub
time
machine.
That's like skipping out of like a free study period. It's like, wow, yeah.
It's like... That's like skipping out of free ice cream day to go get a free
pancake. When you mean
ditched,
do you mean left your iPhone at home?
No, of course it's with us. So we see Hot Tub Time Machine, and I'm like, and on the trip home, I'm like trying to like dismantle some of the aspects of the film and going like, it's supposed to be 1984, but I swear I heard a 1987 NXS hit. And Paul's like, I didn't listen to any of that. That was actually good. I didn't listen to any of that back then. I was too cool for it. I thought it was all garbage. But
and he was a guitar player.
Yeah, like
or
he was
is
in,
a guitar player.
He was in metal bands and stuff. So
I was.
You know, he said his favorite color on Twitter was like 11111 or something like that. Like
almost
it's basically black.
Black.
And I was wondering about that because he always seems cheery to me.
Well, now he likes 80s music. He's trying to get.
Well,
back
he
into
should
it.
Go to this thread then. Make sure
totally.
You know. Grab everything on this thread and put it in a playlist and play it when he comes over to work tomorrow.
Maybe we'll ditch work and just listen to these songs.
I remember when you went to Hot Tub Time Machine, something broke while you were there.
Something always breaks.
When you just sit home.
That was the
no,
thing
like,
where, like
once a year we go see a movie instead of working and like the worst, was it Avatar? No. District 9. We had, like, total server meltdown, and we were in a cell phone dead zone. And, like, the server was down for, like, 2 hours because we were in the stupid fucking movie we kind of hated.
That was a good day.
I remember
that
being unpleasant. Josh and I missed going to District 9 because it turned out it was playing at the drive-in the week before.
Yeah,
not
that was
that
bullshit.
Week. I'm sorry.
Aww. It's not your fault. It's just,
it was actually my fault.
Well, it wasn't your fault that they weren't playing it. It was your fault for making me think they were playing it. But
we went to go get snacks instead.
It's a movie best left unwatched. I don't know.
I think it's the sort of thing that I would like, actually. I will get around to it at some point. But I kind of like dreary sci-fi, so... You know,
yeah.
I can see not enjoying it, but my impression is that I will be glad I have seen it once I have.
It's just like lazy racial messages, you know, done by white people. Annoy me.
That's pretty much why I won't watch. What was that movie?
It's like
I
the movie
watch?
Crash
oh,
as a sci-fi.
Nine. No, Crash. Crash is yeah. terrible.
Imagine Crash as with aliens. That's what you get. Hmm. Oh, let me see. I only had one other favorite. Let me bust this out.
I had one other favorite also.
The funnest sources of history of a word, how a word becomes a
word.
Is
this one of these threads where Language Hat shows up partway through and yells at everybody?
I don't think so. I don't think he even showed up. But there's
probably because he was staying at home holding his head.
he may have just expressed tremendous restraint. I know he does that on a regular basis. And thank
so
you, Language Hat.
I'm so not telling you what I think of you, fucknuts.
So it's a question just going, where are some great word histories that you've heard? Some of them people clearly don't know if it's actually for real or fake, and other people point out that other stories that they're sharing are fake. But where's one? Two of them went together pretty well. Oh, denim. Denim comes from de Nimes. Nimes was the French. Nimes was the French town where the fabric was manufactured. And then jeans comes from a French name for Genoa, where sailors' clothing was made out of rough blue fabric. Like, those both words with interesting stories that go together. But there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. What was the one about snobs? There's one about the word snob.
Control F.
Middle Ages, students started... Oh, middle class.
Nobilitate.
Yeah, no nobility. Sin nobilitate. And then it got shortened to snob. Those are, non-royalty that got to go to college in the Middle Ages. But could be fake. But there's a bunch of good stories there of how words came to be.
This is the last one that I really liked, which for some reason didn't have any tags, which makes no sense. But it appeals to me personally. Please share your systems, rules, habits, and routines to make you kind of do things you don't want to do without... having to make a decision, kind of, you know, like get up, make coffee, brush teeth, floss, that kind of thing. Yeah. 191 favorites, 60 comments, a whole bunch of people just saying, you know, how to make a choice, stairs versus elevators, how to make a choice what to buy, how to make a choice what to eat, how to make a choice to decide whether to have dessert, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it appeals to the MeFi demographic because everyone's like, either I'm a totally rule-governed individual or I'm an ADD person who finds these rule-governed things appealing and yet ultimately unobtainable. And I don't know.
This is totally going to show up in a life hacker roundup.
Yeah, this is like pure – I mean, this is like actual life hacks. Always buy pink toothbrushes. I don't know why I started doing it, but it's always saved me stress from option paralysis. That's so rockin'.
Oh, God, that's very funny.
Plus when – like, you know, you go camping, I don't know, you're showering in some weird public place, your pink one is always yours. No one else is going to have one in the, at least the men's side.
The 2 minutes it takes for my shower to warm up, that's when I floss.
Oh.
See? Perfect. Perfect. That's, for me, the 3 minutes it takes to make coffee, that's when I'm brushing my teeth. And if my coffee's done and I'm not, like, if I... I'm done brushing my teeth and my coffee's not done. I haven't been brushing long enough.
Doesn't that mean that your coffee tastes weird because your mouth is full of toothpaste?
I have strawberry toothpaste.
Does that make for worse coffee enjoyment?
No,
it's like
it's
a
better.
Fancy
have
latte.
Have you ever had like blueberry coffee? Blueberry coffee?
Sure.
All you right. haven't. You're just saying.
No, I hate coffee.
Oh. I like coffee, really? But I like my coffee like I like my coffee. black. Yeah, I don't know where to go with that, but yes.
I like my jokes. Like, I like my jokes. Self-referential.
Who was that? Was that Laura or something? That was someone on... I saw that going around on Twitter.
Yo, dog, I heard you like referential jokes. I put a referential joke in your referential joke. All right, we can
Is
stop
here. Is that still funny?
No, I don't think so to anyone.
I wanted to mention a couple other things on other parts of the site. There's a music talk thread.
There aren't any other parts of the site.
Shut up. Oh. Music totally exists.
Have you picked some songs for us to listen to? Have you listened to a single song this month?
I've been write only this month. I recorded something like 7 or 8 songs on my iPhone because the laptop was broken, and so I couldn't record things properly. And so that was fun. But in the meantime, I haven't listened to other people's stuff, so I really need to get caught up. So
wait, all those covers you did were on an iPhone?
Yeah, yeah.
Like no multi-track?
They're pretty good for on an iPhone.
No, yeah. It's just nice little 4-track software that does like a 4-channel multi-track thing, like an old tape 4-track machine. And
wow.
It's really, the songs are all really sort of rough sounding because I totally blow out the mic because there's no gain control on the iPhone. You can't turn the microphone gain down. So when I play drums, they just explode, which actually sounds pretty cool, but it's hard to work with. But
Do you know what this podcast is going to get? A whole lot of Vortex covers from April.
I specifically said he couldn't pick his own stuff.
I didn't.
I'm picking his own stuff.
I wash my hands of it. Anyway, this music talk thread is what I wanted to mention.
Ceiling.
The music talk is about people talking about how they do songwriting and recording and whatnot. And a bunch of us just like went on for a few paragraphs each talking about different aspects of how the whole songwriting and producing process works personally. And yeah, it turned into a really nice discussion. And it was just a sort of off the cuff thread that Major Dundee posted. And since nobody ever looks at music talk, I thought I should give it some attention on the podcast.
I take back everything I said.
So it's a really nice thread. And it's a fun read. If you're curious how people do
music.
And
it has some of my favorite MetaTalk musicians in it.
Sweet.
Or my favorite MeFi musicians.
Awesome. I think that's podcast 51.
Oh, also one quick plug. I'm sorry, there was so much stuff this last month, but
podcast 51 was brought to you by this last thing.
The interactive fiction contest. The whole interactive fiction write or play a text adventure thing is going on. I think I just sidebarred this today too, but if you want, you can write a silly little game and other people will play it, or you can go play the silly little games that other people played. So if you enjoyed Zork back in the day, you should definitely check this out because it'll be fun. And it was fun last year.
Online at brandonblatcher.com/MeFi community/MetaFictata.
I didn't pick the URL. I just plug it. Anyway.
All right.
Okay, team.
Until next month.
I dreamt of San Pedro, just like I'd never gone. I knew the song. Young girl with eyes like the desert. It all seems like yesterday, not far away. Tropical, the island breeze, all of nature wild and free. This is where I long to be. Life's La Bonita, and when the samba played, the sun set so high, ring through the ears and sting my eyes with Spanish lullaby. I fell in love with San Pedro. Warm wind carried on the sea, he called me Tedio. You can watch them go by. Beautiful faces, no cares in this world. We're a girl of
Michael the